10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. Enjoying a delicious Starbucks Grande Blonde with an inch of steamed almond milk.
Hey, you know what? That's what I'm having. I'm just having regular almond milk with a tall Americano.
Dun, 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 dun. 31 Thoughts, the podcast, is brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali. Elliot, the summer series of podcasts continues. Today we're talking with Steve Mayer. This is a conversation that goes back to the NHL draft in Vancouver in late June. If you don't know Steve, he is the chief content officer for the NHL, joined the league in 2015 after 20 years at IMG, doing television, which includes, but not exclusive to, the Olympics and various NFL halftime shows. He's been part of putting together things like the Winter Classic, the All-Star Fantasy Draft, and the NHL Awards, and that's going to be a big part of our conversation. Essentially, Elliot, is it fair to say he's the entertainment coordinator of the National Hockey League, or is there a better way to describe Steve?
No, that's probably true. Like, a lot of the ideas that you see come from him, no question about it. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot, and the fans out there, I think, have talked about this a lot. The conservative nature of the sport versus the way we're dragging ourselves into a new era. And, you know, John Collins, before he left, he got frustrated at some of the things that he felt he wasn't allowed to do. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the most interesting part of the conversation, is how do you change a culture, or how do you shift a culture? And when a lot of the way that, not necessarily the people at the top, but even people on individual teams are like, no, right, that's not the way we do things here. I like those conversations.
And with that, we'll present this conversation with Steve Mayer. We spoke to him in Vancouver one day after a very successful NHL Awards, which I think we're both on the same page on. Maybe the best one we've seen all around. Here's Steve Mayer on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Elliot, please be joined now by someone that many hockey fans would probably have no idea about. And just assume that this person exists. The architect of the entertainment for the NHL. Maybe a fan would wonder, who puts the award show together?
And we're doing this the day after the awards.
Correct, which was probably the best award show I think the NHL has ever done. Mm-hmm. It hit a lot of the right notes. We're talking to Steve Mayer. He's the chief content officer with the National Hockey League. And first of all, do you like doing things like this? Do you like, normally people in your position like to be referred to as, oh, you know, ignore the man behind the curtain?
No, I like to talk about what we're doing. I'm pretty proud of what we've done and what we're about to do. So no, I don't mind it. You know, it's not me. It's an incredible team.
Sure.
And we've really worked hard over the course of the last few years since I've been with the league to put together a team that can pull off nights like the NHL Awards and shows like that. And so, yeah, it's good to be here.
Let's start with this, because Jeff had the introduction there saying people might not know who you are. So tell us, and tell the listener, more importantly, who are you?
I've been in the sports business for now close to 30 years. I'm doing what you guys do. I started on air, always wanted to be in sports, thought that could be the way to get in. I was a pretty good athlete, but, you know, I did what you did and do for the first almost 10 years of my career.
And, then, and where was this?
So I worked at a local station in New Jersey, and then eventually a national channel, which was called Sports News Network. It was a 24-hour sports news channel, and it went bankrupt. And I was represented by IMG. They were my agent. And I tried to get some work after they went bankrupt. And I found that I was getting jobs producing television rather than announcing television. I needed to make some money. And what happened was I started really enjoying it behind the scenes. And one thing led to another, and I ended up getting a job at IMG. And I did that for 20 years, kind of rose through the ranks there and eventually ran their television production business. And then had worked for the NHL while at IMG, and a job opened up, this particular job. And I looked at it, and I thought it would be a really unique opportunity. I come to the NHL and came to the NHL, you know, with a sports perspective, not necessarily a hockey perspective, although I'm a huge fan. And I think that that's been really helpful in helping what we all want is the game to grow. And, you know, I've had a lot of support, but yeah, that's who I am. You know, and I'm a guy who looks at a wall, and it could be a white wall, but I see colors and patterns. And, you know, I just also like to look at things and say, how can I make it look better? That's kind of me.
And how many years have you been at the NHL now?
I started in January of 2016.
Okay, so 3 years.
I want to go to the show that we saw last night, that awards show. I have my reasons why I think it worked, and I think it was a hit. I like the notes that it hit on a lot of different levels, whether it was comedy, whether it was, you know, part of it was, you know, touching, and it was moving and tearful and joyful, and part of it was it hit a lot of different notes. What did you think of it?
I'm a critic of everything that we do. You know, I felt good last night, and I don't normally feel as good. I felt we're going in with the strong show. But, you know, one of the things, and it's fun to sort of anticipate, but it's nerve-wracking as well, because you just don't know. You can rehearse, and Elliot was part of our rehearsals. You're rehearsing in an empty arena,
yeah. No
energy,
yeah.
People just running through teleprompter, and you just don't really know when you start putting it all together. Is it going to work? Is it going to flow? And then you certainly don't know, you know, the players come up there. They're giving speeches, you know, and last night we happened to have a couple of great speeches along the way. You know, it really started right from the very beginning. I think that's one of the things that took us, you know, from really the opening moments to the end with a show that had a really good flow and vibe. Keenan Thompson was really
awesome.
Good. He was great. His comedic timing is awesome. I mean, and that's an art.
Awesome. Oh, man, this is awesome. Let me take my glasses off so I can see you a little clearer. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Welcome to the 2019 NHL Awards. I will be your host this evening. And for the last time, no, I am not one of the Sioux bands. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Love it. I see you, PK. My name is Keenan Thompson. You might recognize me from SNL, all that. Keenan and Kale. I see you, Kale. Fat Albert. But let's be real. You don't. This is a hockey room. So you only know me as the kid from the Mighty Ducks 2 and 3. That's right. The funny thing is, you don't even say my name. It's always just, hey, Knucklepuck. And that's fine. But I like to think that my character, Russ Tyler, helped blaze a trail for so many players in the league. You know, I can't really decide if my favorite player is Ryan Reeves or... Maybe even Malcolm Subban, you know, from the Golden Knights. I feel a strong connection to the two of them. I don't really know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
And listen, we've all seen past hosts, and some just don't grasp that crowd. And that is
a tough crowd.
Difficult crowd.
You know, like Rob Riggle. I think Rob Riggle's a really funny guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So he comes, he does the NHL Awards a few years ago, and it doesn't go well. He gets murdered on social media. And I want, because a hockey fan, they are tough. So do you find that people are afraid to do that show because they're worried they're going to get clobbered?
Yeah, it was interesting because Keenan had watched past shows, so he knew the audience he was going to be working with. And, you know, listen, the worst thing for a comedian is to go out and get no laughs, and then they start getting defensive and they start being uncomfortable. He was really confident that he could win the crowd over, and I think you've got to go in with that confidence. But we all know there are a lot of stone faces out there. They don't laugh. They just don't laugh. So he had him right from the very beginning.
Now, the Golden Knights had a bit of a heartbreaking end of the season, losing in overtime of Game 7 in the first round. But, no, don't worry, because next season you guys got a new secret weapon. The Pope! That's right. That's a real photo. Yeah, the Pope got a Vegas Golden Knights jersey. How is the Pope going to root for the team from Sin City? I mean, in Vegas, the closest thing to a baptism is a wet t-shirt contest. But it makes sense that he's into hockey. I mean, the Pope is the only person whose car is literally a penalty box. That's not protection. He got 5 minutes for cross-checking. Cross-checking. That's right. Yeah. Feel free. I've got to congratulate the Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues. Congratulations. Now, the Blues played the song Gloria after all their wins, all playoffs long. Gloria, Gloria, you got the meal on the air. But my question for the Blues is, why wouldn't you play the Blues? Your team name is the Blues with a musical note. Come on, give us some Muddy Waters, some T-Bone Walker, or Catfish Riverbed Jr., you know. Blues artists. Who's wiggling dip? I got to say Louis Blues. Doom's wiggling dip. I got ice and water in my shoes. Thank you very much. We also have Commissioner Gary Bettman in the house tonight. Yeah. Oh, you love him. You know you love him. He was super excited that the Blues won because when he walked out on the ice, he could finally pretend that everybody was shouting Blues. But you know those were boos, Gary. As you just heard.
And I thought that helped set the tone. And then, you know, we hit some emotion with the Carey Price moment, you know, which we also didn't know exactly how it would turn out because we never rehearsed Carey with Anderson. It was always doing the two separate moments and just never knew how the reaction would be, although we anticipated that Anderson would be shocked, and he was. So that worked out great. And, you know, there was a good mix of a little of everything. And, yeah, I was really happy. And obviously the reaction has been good. So we've just got to top it next year.
You know where it really took off, I thought? And, Jeff, you tell me if you think I'm nuts because you're watching on TV and I'm sitting in the crowd. So I think it really took off with that joke about the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh.
But this year was a historic season as well for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Shout out to my Tampa folks. That's right, they tied the most wins in a regular season with 62. And then they followed it up by tying the least wins in a playoff with 0. But hey, hey. I mean, that's what I like about them. Win or lose, they set records.
Can I pause on that?
Sure, okay.
You know what made it for me? Because I'm with you. That Tampa Bay Lightning joke was great. I don't know that it gets over as well without the dog face reaction of Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yes, well, exactly. You see that
part. That, no, you don't see that.
Yes.
But I'm watching that, and he is
exactly statue. Exactly.
And he's having no part of it, and that even made it funnier.
So you see that reaction. We're in the crowd, and the crowd is like, whoa. And then they started laughing. Now, but my question to you is, do you have to approve that? Or do you, like, how does it work? Like, do you go to the Lightning and say, I just want to warn all you guys that this is coming.
So this is interesting. Normally, no. But I happen to have a very good relationship, especially with Coop, their coach, yeah. John Cooper. And so I kind of jokingly said to him, hey, beware. We're coming after you. And so he knew. But listen, everything in that show is approved by the league and me. And Gary Bettman will, you know, I'll run a few things by him. I wish I could send you all the jokes that didn't make the show, because there's quite a few. And, you know, we have great writers, and Keenan brought some writers to the table this year as well who I thought were awesome to work with. And we probably start with that monologue. We probably start with 25 jokes and narrow it down. And we go in script read-throughs throughout the whole week. We do a few of those where we start narrowing down. We bring people in a room. We run a joke by them. We see if they laugh. There were a few that absolutely would have gone a little too far. We want to push the envelope, but we also know there's a stop button somewhere. But we probably narrowed it down from 25 jokes to about 7 that ended up in the monologue.
There's an old, the old line about art. You know, one of the most important things in a piece of art is the frame, because the frame tells you where art stops and life begins. Under that umbrella, I'm curious about what things aren't allowed into a show. Like, what things can't be part of the art?
I think that we don't want to make fun of our own. I mean, we'll make fun with the team in general. The Tampa Bay joke was just that. But mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to ever go after a player, ever. We've actually brought in other sports to one show that other sports care about our sport. You know, we've done that way more in the last few years, and I think it's worked. You know, bringing Charles Barkley to the final was probably something a few years ago that this league would not do.
Pleased to welcome to Hockey Night in Canada, Sir Charles Barkley, currently earning his living analyzing the Warriors-Raptors NBA final, but always has time for his second love, hockey. Charles, you're a professional analyst, so analyze this piece of video for me. The two goaltenders getting ready here tonight.
Those are two guys who are completely in the zone, and nobody else is in the war with them right now. Yeah, nobody else is alive right now. They getting ready. I can't wait.
Game 7 for the Stanley Cup. What do you think?
Well, I started this series pulling for the Blues because Craig Berube played for my Flyers. So I'm sticking with the Blues.
You're picking the Blues tonight?
I'm picking the Blues. I picked them. I can't change my pick.
I got to ask you, there's a lot of fans out there saying he's got to ask him about the NBA Finals. Do the Raptors win the championship tomorrow night?
I think they do.
But we don't want to make fun of other sports. We tend to be careful about that or compare ourselves to other sports. But, you know, we want to have fun. We want to show that we can make fun of ourselves as a league. I think the fans want that, you know, and we're living in this world right now where there's so much out there for everybody. You guys see it, and, you know, how do you cut through the clutter? How do you make an impact, and how do you tell a joke that people are going to talk about the next day? You know, so that's the fine line of trying to figure that out. And is there a secret formula? No. But you try like heck to come up with those moments, those jokes that people think are funny and will talk about and say, did you see the show last night? Did you hear the joke about Tampa Bay? That's what we really want.
Do you feel that now the line has moved? Like I feel that, you know, 5 years from now, you know, we'll look at an NHL award show and say, wow, look how different this was than 5 years ago. And you can't jump there right away. Maybe that's too jarring for the viewers, for the fan base, for the teams, whatever. But do you feel that you've nudged it a little bit?
Yeah, so I think across the board, we've just done some things that, listen, my boss is the commissioner, and he has given the green light to go out and do some things that haven't been done before. And, you know, my whole feeling on how we can grow, and Elliot, we talk about this often, is, you know, our events need to be big events. We need to do a Stanley Cup final that people talk about because, wow, look at all those people outside, inside. I mean, you know, to have on the final night of our Stanley Cup final, you know, the U.S. record ratings, and but then also see outside that we had 41,000 people in two stadiums, an arena and a stadium in St. Louis.
100,000 outside Game 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's a significant, for us, point of view that other people will take notice of. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have the greatest avid fan base, I think, of any sport. I mean, our fans will watch hockey. You put it on at 3 in the morning. If we changed the schedule and said we're playing games overnight, people would stay up and watch it. But what we're trying to do is also make an impact with casual fans. Like, if you've got a decision to make, And are you going to watch the Raptors or the Leafs? You know, we want you definitely to watch the Leafs. And why? Because, wow, you're going to get something that's spectacular, that's different, that, you know, stands out. Or you're going to want to watch that player that we profiled or that player that had fun. And those are the people that we're trying to bring in. And those moments are how we believe we can help do it. So I think we're pushing the envelope. You know, listen, we are a league and we have certain standards we have to manage and will. But I do think the bar is being pushed, and that's a good thing.
This takes me in a lot of different directions. But, you know, for example, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong about this. One thing I really liked that the league did this year at the Stanley Cup Final was you introduced the starting lineup on television every game. I loved it. And where you really hit the jackpot was Chara in game five.
On defense, in his 21st season, from Princeton, Slovakia, number 33, Zdeno Chara!
I loved that. That was a small thing, but a big thing. But I have heard, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that the biggest obstacle are the teams. That you try to do things and the teams say that that's not team or that's too individual or this isn't the time of the season. Like the story I was told was that you guys wanted to have the cup on the ice for game seven at the beginning for the player introduction. Sort of like the players are going to be introduced and they're playing for that. And the teams didn't want that.
Well, that was a pipe dream, the latter.
Hang on, but was it an idea? Because that is outstanding. Listen, for a game seven of the Stanley, I love having that trophy there to see the whole game. That's what's at stake, boys.
So to be fair, that wasn't an idea. Did that get to the team? Not really.
Okay.
So that was an internal idea, and I'm sure I know where you heard it, and that's fine.
I can guarantee it wasn't the source you think it was, because I bet you that guy knew that he would think it was him.
No, but I will say this. But I will. Look, this is the way we're thinking, though.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way that I want my team to think. We're thinking, like, what are those moments that will, you know, make an impact? Starting lineups, we went to the teams before the playoffs and said, for the finals, your first home game, we're going to do starting lineups. What happened was, and it's happened before, but this year in particular, I mean, those were like big moments in games one and games three. And so what we went back to the teams to say was, we want to do this for five, six, and seven. And is there resistance? Yes. Is there tradition in this sport unlike any other sport? Yes. Do I respect that? Absolutely. But sometimes it's hard to fight City Hall and fight that tradition. And you have to put it out there. My philosophy is you at least got to get the conversation going. And sometimes the teams, and I respect this, don't want to upset the apple cart. This is the way they do it. Starting lineups are not something they do all year. And so that's upsetting the apple cart a bit. But yet that's a value for our league that I think is great, and it's worth pushing. Sometimes, and believe me, there's plenty of times where I've recommended things and I've gone away. If somebody could say, hey, this is why we've done it this way. But I hate personally when somebody says, well, this is the way we've always done it.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yep.
And there's quite a few instances where that is the norm here rather than the abnormal. And so all we could do is keep pushing it. If we believe in it, we'll try to get it done. In this case, starting lineups was something we truly believed would be impactful, and that's why we went with it and we stayed with it. Yeah.
I'm assuming you've had this conversation. I'm just curious how many times it's come up. Play music while the game is on.
Yeah, so believe it or not, and I'm, well, as you can hear, I want to do crazy. I'm not a fan. I'm not. I think it's distracting, and you know, I think there's enough music in our arenas. You know, if anything, I think we could do a better job of, you know, what music is being played. And I've always said this to our hockey operations folks. Listen, I'm going to come up with crazy ideas. You tell me I'm crazy, but I am not here to change the game. This game is sacred to me and to many. And, you know, when that puck is dropped, I'm backing off. But, like, the elements before and after, and around, I'd love to just enhance. But I'm not here to change the rules, and I'm not here to mess with the play on the ice. So I'm not a huge fan of that personally. But, yeah, sure, it's been recommended. We see it now in other leagues. It's becoming a lot more prevalent. And, you know, we haven't really talked about that because that's not something that we believe will enhance the game.
What is the most ridiculous thing in your mind right now that you want to do?
I wish you could see his face right now.
It's tough because I don't know the true answer to that. I mean, we have a lot of crazy ideas. A lot of them have to do with some content that is not necessarily in an arena. It's, you know, some of the things that we want to do, some of the shows we want to do.
Give us an idea.
So, you know, we're proposing, I don't want to say it because it's actually like a hidden camera show. And if I gave you the idea, I would completely give away the hidden camera trick so all the players would know what was going on. I think one of the things with our players, and we're doing a much better job of trying to get the players to be profiled and to show them off the ice.
Yeah.
You know, we have our all-access programming, which has been quite successful. I truly believe, after doing this for a few years, that when you put players like last night, Carey Price, in a situation where they have to react, they're a lot better than when you sit them down and try to do an interview with them. Yep. Or have them read a script. And so, you know, we have a bunch of ideas which would put players in precarious situations, but, you know, and it wouldn't be making fun of them. They would be having fun. You'd see their personality. You see them laughing. And so there are a few things that we're going to propose in the off season to try to do for next year, which we think will be a lot of fun. We also truly believe, especially in Canada, that we can come up with a television format that's outside of the game, that's a little more of a competition reality base, which would involve our players as stars in the show and could be a primetime format. I know that in Canada they'll bring Bat Battle of the Blades, something in sort of that realm.
Is that like Showdown? So is it a hockey thing?
It would be a hockey/reality/competition show that we're developing right now. We're pretty confident that we've got something that would be pretty cool and would be a primetime format and would involve our players. The one thing that I've now recognized is just how amazingly popular the sport is, and people can't get enough. I think the States, we're making strides, and we're doing some things that have been impactful, and those ratings are showing. But I always point to the Super Bowl, and you always, in the Super Bowl, they promote the show that's coming up after the Super Bowl is, you know, in prime time. Why can't we, during the whole Stanley Cup Final, be promoting the series that will start after the Stanley Cup Final, and it's going to be on every night, every Wednesday night, you know, in prime time, and it would have a hockey/NHL feel to it, but not be a game. And I think that that's probably a way we want to go and start developing. And those are the kind of things that we think will be fun moving forward.
Now, are these like athletic competitions?
I'm
thinking about this. Like, you got me going here. I'm thinking of
of American Gladiators meets Battle of the Network Stars meets American Ninja Warrior meets Showdown.
But you know what? Not only that, but like, I think you could do other things. Like, you could do like Canadian Chopped. Or NHL Chopped.
Yeah, well, that's
like you could do that.
That is something that we're actually also focused on, getting our players into those shows. You know, we were really close last summer to get a couple of our players on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's I can't tell you. But I will say this. That's another great way to get our players into the mainstream.
Yeah. Yes.
To get them exposed to people that don't watch the NHL, but watch Dancing with the Stars. I think that's great. And those are the kind of things that we want to do more of. And we're really focused on. And we have a team now that is, you know, looking at those opportunities, whether they're, you know, bit parts in a scripted show. Just getting our players exposed in different ways, it just leads to the popularity, I think, of the player, their brand, and the NHL.
It's awesome. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. You know, and we have a good time doing that. Yeah.
Elliot and I have talked about
this idea of a...
you guys want to develop a show with me? Let's go.
We're going to start our own production company eventually here, Elliot and I. A summer, whether it's an R&D league or something like that, where it's all the things that maybe, Steve, people in your camp have had in the back of their minds, just blue skying ideas, but you try it. So it's green ice and no offsides and it's two pucks and, or whatever. Has a summer league idea like that ever come under your nose?
I've been pitched a lot. There's been some summer programming, yes. Not a summer league necessarily, but a lot of leagues involved alumni. You know, again, two on two. I've heard a little of everything. And that's one of the fun parts of the job is to, you know, not only develop ideas internally, but also to take ideas from the outside. And there's some really fun ideas out there. You know, I came from a world, I ran a television production company for 20 years, you know, and we pitched shows all the time. And we did sports, but we did entertainment and reality. And it's really hard. I mean, I don't think people realize of 100 ideas that are, you know, developed, one maybe makes its way to television. And the same thing here. I mean, we hear so many ideas, pitches for documentaries and television shows, and you think an idea is a great one, but then it's tough to finally get it to the finish line and get it produced. But we're trying, and we love, you know, we do love to hear people's ideas.
Rod Serling had a great quote. I was a big Twilight Zone fan. Rod Serling always had the great quote.
Ithaca College.
Is that right, Ithaca College?
I went to.
He had the great quote, "The easiest thing in the world is to come up with an idea. The hardest thing in the world is to put it down."
Yep.
How do you get from there to there? Like personally yourself?
It's hard. And you own your ideas. You know, you love them. You want to, you know, you can't understand when someone else doesn't accept the idea that you have, especially when you're pitching it. But I'm one of these people that, you know, says, all right, you know, well, what would make it a little better? And, you know, and if I really believe in it, I kind of don't stop until I try to figure out that I've exhausted every avenue to try to get it done. But it's hard to get them done. And the people that I work with know I'm a little crazy. I mean, I don't stop.
I think you have to be crazy to be in a creative job.
Yeah, you know, and I challenge myself. I challenge everybody that works with me. Like, come on, we could pull this off. We could do this. And I just think that that's the best part of what I do, whether I worked at the NHL or anywhere. Like, you know, to be able to come up with an idea and then to actually execute it and see that you could pull it off, that's amazing. I've always said that when, you know, you'd have an idea and it actually became a TV show, it was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And that's the part that I like, you know, to see how the field gets designed and then we actually see what it looks like when we do an outdoor game. Or last night, you know, some of the ideas that, you know, we said, all right, let's give this a shot. And then, you know, to see that it was successful, it's a lot of fun. But there's a lot always brewing. And then sometimes you take the idea from over here and you move it over here and it makes the idea over here better. So those are things that we kind of preach and I look for in my own personal world. But it is hard to get sometimes things to the finish line.
In the 3.5 years you've been at the NHL, what is the angriest anyone has gotten at you for something you did?
Wow. The angriest. I don't know. Nothing's popping. Do you have an idea?
No, I don't. Like, I'm curious. If somebody would say to you, like, Steve, seriously? Like, this? How, like,
get
you came up
office.
With this?
You know, it's funny because I'm actually going back to when those who I work with were upset with me. And believe it or not, I don't have very many instances. Listen, I've pushed, you know, we've done a few things. I'm just trying to think out loud and you caught me. Because I really don't think there's been anything that's, you know, where people have, like, been upset. I think a couple of times the teams have reacted.
That can be an answer.
Yeah, you know, they've reacted. And usually it's, you know, the way we've presented something. But nothing that's been too serious.
Okay.
When you say angry, you know, smallest thing ever. But the draft floor. I'll give you an example. We took the tables that are out there, and it was a spatial issue. We made the tables from 20 people to 18 people. Well.
Oh, no, I get that.
So two people have to stay up.
I'm not part of the group anymore.
So I got a little flack for that and still do. But believe it or not, it's a little bit of a joking flack.
No, it's not.
Okay.
That's ego.
I saw at the Philadelphia draft a pretty brutal argument with someone not being allowed on the floor because they didn't have seats.
Yeah.
And it was a significant person in the NHL with a team.
So we moved that. So you say this now that you brought this up. So today I actually announced to the general managers that next year we announced yesterday we're going to Montreal.
Yep. Yeah.
And because of space, we are going to move the tables back to 20. So today I made everybody happy. I made them happy.
Now, the awards isn't moving from Vegas, right? That's staying there?
Right now the awards will stay in Vegas. Okay, yes. Good. Yes. You know, I think down the line, it's now a home game for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I do think there are a few teams that have reacted.
I wrote about this last year. So that was true then, that there were some teams who complained.
Listen, it
that's crazy.
And right, but, you know, if you're a team, and last year was, let's face it, last year was a year where every single category had a Vegas Golden Knight. So the whole night was a Vegas Golden Knight. Rah-Rah Fest. Now, last night was very different because there was only one nominee, Mark Stone. And so I think it was a little different. But the players love to go to Vegas. We all know that. And we get incredible participation.
Yeah.
So I think we'll stay another year. And then we may look at other cities. We may look at other cities. And other cities, be very open, are asking if the awards could come to their city. So there is an interest from other cities to bring the awards to their city.
I asked this question earlier today of George Peros, and Elliot hated it. So I'm going to keep asking people just to annoy Elliot.
It's so bad.
Has anybody ever gotten...
It gives a great answer, but it's a horrible premise.
I think it's a great question. I'm guessing that we'll get another great answer here.
Okay.
Your office, it's on fire. You have time to take one thing out of it and one thing only. You can salvage one thing from your office before flames engulf it. What is your one thing?
So I should say the picture of my lovely wife. But I think I could find another one somewhere. Not another wife. Another picture.
You might have to do both after this answer.
My wife has put up with 25 years yesterday. 25
Congratulations.
Years.
Congratulations.
My anniversary. I'd probably take, it's probably pretty obvious, but this day and age, I'd probably take that computer with me, which has got all the ideas and the contacts and a little of everything. From a prized possession... that's in there. I don't have a lot in my office because I'm never in my office. It's actually funny. Somebody I saw today, and she joked, do you know you haven't been in the office since May the 10th? Not one day in the office. But I'd probably take the computer.
Nothing sentimental, nothing, I got this from so-and-so, and this was a special
day. I've been collecting pucks from every single event, so that's pretty cool. Piece of my office right now, and I have a bucket of pucks that I got signed from the NHL 100 event that we did when we announced the greatest 100 players. That actually, that bucket, I'd probably take the computer and the bucket because I'm going for them both. I've got two hands.
That was a great event, actually. By the way, Jeff, the question was better to Steve than it was to George because you said George's house was on fire.
Oh, a house.
I said home office. Yeah, house.
And for this one, you just said office. I can tolerate the office, not the whole house.
Yeah, the house is a little different.
What would it be if you're a house?
I would actually take my wife.
In that case. In the house.
Now, I told you I'm a sports fan, and I do have some pretty cool sports memorabilia from all the teams that I've enjoyed and grew up with. So, I might grab a few of those. Those are in my office and keepsakes, and they're important. But I also would take... part of my past life, I have a lot on videotape, and those are things that you want to remember and keep, and it's all good.
Just a couple more for me. First of all, Stanley Cup final and the NBA final. The one of the things that an NHL player told me this year, because a lot of the Canadians were watching it a bit more closely with the Raptors there, on the off days, the Stars, they do one-on-ones. I remember before the night before Game 6, I believe Brad Fay did a sit-down with Kawhi Leonard. You know, I saw Alvin Williams for Sportsnet do a sit-down with Steph Curry. And then after the final, one of the players told me he was struck by how many sit-downs and interviews he saw Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry do. And I'm not a guy who likes to complain a lot about access. I'm a big believer in you may deny me, but I'm going to get it. But even this player said to me, Steve, like the star players, they're available and they're available a lot.
So we recognize that. And we're pushing, believe me, we're pushing for our players to do way more. And it is an issue that we need to address, and I think we all admit that we need to address it. You know, when you're in your biggest moment and you're being showcased to the world, you need to have your top players out there. And it's a matter of, you know, just trying to convince the team, the player, that this is worthy and this should be an obligation. And I think eventually, you know, will it come down to us mandating? Right now, the league doesn't mandate, and we probably need to eventually. But I think that, you know, it is obvious, and the NBA has done a great job. And it goes back to what we've talked about. The tradition hasn't necessarily been to do this as your obligation. You know, we're very different. And in the NBA, that has always been the obligation of those players. And they've known it, and they do it.
They embrace it.
They do embrace it. And, you know, and it's the culture. We're team over individual. We always have been. That locker room is sacred. And, you know, and there's a lot of qualities to that that make our sport and the NHL awesome and amazing. And in the other sport, like a basketball, their players build their brand. You see, I always do say this to whoever wants to listen. Like, I don't believe that will upset the locker room. I don't. You know, there are players that are paid more money than other players. There are players that do more endorsements. But yet the locker room remains intact. Because
there's a game for a certain segment of the players in the NHL called the All-Star Game, yeah, which takes them away from their team, yes, and there's no complaints.
Yes. And again, all of this takes time. And I think we're making some strides, but you're right. That's one area that we need to go. But it's not because we don't ask. You know, that's the other thing. Like, we constantly are asking our players to do more and more and more. And I think, again, we're making strides, but we're not necessarily all the way there. And we all know there are certain players that are more interested to do it, better at doing it, more comfortable. In my mind, that's, you know, it's a fight that we need to keep fighting, and we'll get there. We'll get there. I think this young group of players, oh, yeah, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to go to the, yep, those who are coming in and educate them. This new group that will get drafted, we love their personality. And just talking to them, their just interest in social media, in how they consume media and content, mm-hmm, it's different than those who have been in the league for 15 years. It's completely different. And I think they understand the value of promotion. But, you know, somewhere along the line, and you guys know this, they get into that locker room and are they brainwashed the other way or are they nervous to upset the locker room?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's a great martial arts saying, the protruding nail gets hammered down. And that's kind of exactly what I think you're talking about. When you get in that room, sometimes, oh, hold on a second here. We all do things the same.
Yeah, and one of the things that we keep preaching is that you got to trust us, especially at the league level. You know, you guys might be a little more opinionated. We're here to promote. We're here to build your brand. We're here to make you a star. And so, you know, one of the things we want to continue to hammer home is that you got to trust us to do that. And, you know, again, I think with certain players who have given us their time, they're the ones that are much more apt to come back a second and third time. But you just got to get them and show them that we could do some cool things together.
Last one for me. How often do you get pitched programs or properties from people?
all the time.
What's the craziest one you've heard?
No, well, listen, no idea is crazy. It's like, no question is a stupid question. So,
except for the last 45 minutes.
No, yeah, there
are no stupid questions, that, only stupid people fire, asking questions.
That fire question, I'm still trying to grasp.
Come on, it's a good question, Steve, you know.
No, but I get pitched a lot, and I get, and the majority of them are pretty good. I mean, I also say to people, like, hey, it's not there. Like, I'm one of these people that if you give me an idea, I'll immediately give you feedback. I hated when I used to go into a room and they used to sit there stone faced and listen to my idea, and I wouldn't know whether they liked it, whether they didn't. And they would always say at the network level, they would say, we're going to take it to the group and we'll get back to you. And the group never said yes. they always went to the group, and somehow I would get a no. So with me, I always hate that. So I try to give immediate feedback, and again, always trying to make it a little better. Or what if we did this instead of that? But we get pitched a lot.
Okay, let me give you an idea. I don't have an idea other than the initial one for this.
By the way, this could be a whole other podcast. Just pitch ideas.
It could be right now. I want.
That's actually not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
No. our producer said it's a bad idea.
I'm curious to see where your brain goes with this. I don't have this developed or thought out. This is just top of my mind.
I've probably heard it before, but go ahead.
Pimp My Zamboni.
So I have heard that before.
Are you serious?
God. Where? So.
Oh, just when you think you have an idea.
No, I've heard.
I can't believe there's two people who have that idea.
No, I'm going to tell you something. I've heard that idea, and I think it's pretty cool. We've heard that idea. We've heard Zamboni races.
Yeah.
We've heard the Zamboni interview. Like, so the Zamboni
driving around,
you interview a celebrity or a player in the time it takes to, resurface the ice. I like it. I mean, to that point, when we talked about like off channel, those are the kind of shows that might find their way into other programming. Not, doesn't have to be on our main channels. I mean, listen, we love our partnerships both in the U.S. and in Canada, but we also are looking to, like, how do we get on Animal Planet? And we have a pitch right now, I shouldn't really say this out loud, but I will, to do essentially the Puppy Bowl around the Stanley Cup called Pup Cup.
I love
it. They like it. So those are the kind of things that we're thinking about, because that gets us to Animal Planet, and that gets us to a whole other audience of dog lovers. And suddenly, those dog lovers might watch a hockey game. So Pimp My Zamboni would be, I don't know what network it would be on, but let's do it. Come on, let's do it.
Oh, my God.
Jeff, you got a show.
That is so funny. Pup Cup. Oh, my. That's better than Pimp My Zamboni.
Pimp My Zamboni.
It's not bad.
Just think about, it's funny because I pitched this once to one of our previous bosses at Sportsnet, because we're looking at different features to do and make it interactive with viewers from our shows. And I said, listen, there's all these Zambonis at all these rinks, and they all pretty much all look the same. I want the creative people that really pimp out a Zamboni and send me in those videos and send me those shots. And that becomes something we do on Sportsnet. It went nowhere.
WWE spinning belt rims for the Zamboni wheels. I can't believe it went nowhere.
Ah, shocking.
Here's my last one. So, this has been really good. You've talked about a lot of things, and you've talked about your vision for some different things you'd like to do. Hockey in terms of the schedule has done some different things. What do you think is the next sort of schedule-related thing that's going to be different? Are you going to take the All-Star game overseas? Is there something outdoor game-ish you're particularly excited about?
Listen, when it comes to these signature events, we're absolutely looking at what's the next round, what's the next evolution. We've gone, and you can look at, where we've been. We've gone around the league a bit. And so, this next round, when we started to do it, you see it a little more, the thematic game, and going to places that, are in Canada. We're going to Regina, where people don't necessarily have hockey, but we do think we can get a crowd and bring the game to places that don't get a game every single night. I think that we'll, look at some things because of the fact that we're playing more games overseas. that might stunt out a day's schedule, for instance, and go 24 hours of games, which you can do if you start in Europe and come back to the States. And so something like that could be fun. And those are some of the things that, you know, potentially are in the future. Talk about hearing every idea and being pitched every idea. When it comes to the outdoor games, whether other people have pitched or, you know, you and I have talked, Elliot, a lot about, you know, where we might go down the line.
Like on a like a Navy ship or something.
Yeah,
like
that. And those are things that, you know, of course, if we've looked at. And I will say we've looked everywhere. Like, and we want to do something that we think will be impactful, unique, and really raise eyebrows. You know, and I can't tell you exactly when, but that's probably coming in the future, where we'll announce a game at a place that you go, whoa, that's super cool. And, you know, we've done it a little with the stadiums, and Notre Dame, I thought, was fun, and that was cool. And the Air Force and Navy series, and, you know, you could do the math. There's probably one missing there. That's something that, you know, has really been successful, and we can be thematic in our approach to how we design the field and the content that we associate with the game. So I think that's where we're probably headed for the future. But I still think that these games are super successful and can be super successful. So they're not going away. That's another thing. People are like, oh, we've had enough of these games. I don't agree at all. And I think that they are part of now who we are.
I agree. I think when you go, if you can't have a good time, there's something wrong with
in
you.
The local market.
You're a loser if you can't have a good time.
No, but the local market eats it up. They love it. And in Dallas, we sold 80,000 tickets already for New Year's. It's awesome. And you know, we just want to continue to do them. But, you know, I think there are a couple of unique places to go down the line.
This has been probably more time than you thought you would give us today. We're really appreciative,
Steve. Gave us a lot, though.
Well, thanks.
You did.
No, and it's fun. And let's keep it growing. Let's keep it going.
I'll keep coming up with goofy ideas for you.
No, anytime you have an open pipeline, just keep them coming. An idea a day. I'm sure I'm going to get one now.
It's called Hockey Bag. Now, close your eyes. No, okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks.
Thoughts the Podcast is brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali, complete with the world's first six-function multi-protocol gate. What's a six-function multi-protocol gate, you ask? Well, it's a cool feature that adapts to whatever you need. It auto-opens from buttons on the key fob, the cockpit, and the tailgate itself. It's got a load stop to prevent long items from sliding out of the cargo box, and turns into a full width step for easy access. An inner gate allows you to insert a platform into the cargo box to create a shelf to two separate items and becomes a work surface with a 12-volt power outlet. So, no matter what you're moving or where you're going, the multi-protocol gate gives you options. GMC Sierra Denali. We are professional grade. That was Steve Mayer, the chief content officer for the NHL, and admitted Elliot Friedman. You love the Pimp My Zamboni idea. Although I know you do like the idea of getting players on various shows.
You know,
outside of hockey.
I like all this different stuff. Like, you know, my wife loves Chopped, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't really into it. And then I started watching it a bit. I started getting into it. And I'm a big believer in stuff like that. Like, all these players now are so fanatical about their meals.
Oh, yes.
I think that would be a great idea. And if you really want to expand the reach of the sport, that's what you got to do. You got to get people to watch these guys in their unusual environments. And I would watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not something I would watch a lot, but I would watch that. And I bet you there'd be people who may not be into hockey, but are into cooking, who would be definitely into that.
My 9-year-old, one of the first things that he gravitated towards in the NHL, outside of just the games themselves, one of the things that he found the coolest was the addition of Dude Perfect with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn.
It was really good.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, still to this day, like, he's got a Tyler Seguin t-shirt, old ratty shirt that he can barely squeeze into anymore. But every now and then he'll be like, hey, can we watch that again on YouTube? That old, where they're shooting donuts and stuff. Like,
I'm with you. Like things like that differently. Because we always think we fall into the trap of thinking that everything has to be for us.
Yes.
And I'm as guilty as anybody else. If I don't like it, therefore it's bad. And I always say to myself, Jeff, not everything is for you. Like even if you don't like it, that's fine. You're not the target demo here. I always have to remind myself of that. And I think that as people that watch the sport and follow the sport, sometimes we're guilty of thinking that if we don't like it, then it's not good.
Right.
That's not true.
I agree with that 100%. I remember when the Raptors were named, John Bitov came on the fan radio station and Bob McCown was hosting the show. And he said, Bob, do you like the nickname? And Bob goes, no, I think it's stupid. Mm-hmm. And John Bitov said, good, because you're not the target audience. And I'm with you. Like, you know, I think especially as you get older, you understand that there are things that are not about you. They're about other people.
Yeah.
And what's the number one complaint a lot of players have about the financial side of the game, that we're not growing it enough? Well, A, the players have to take control of that. Nobody can grow it more than they can.
Mm-hmm.
But B, you have to come up with ideas where they can go to places where they've never been.
Considering, just picking up on that for a second, considering how much, specifically in Canada, NBA was front of mind for a lot of people, hardcore, casual, whatever, sports fans. I can't help but thinking a lot of NHL players looked at how NBA players handled post-game responsibilities and said, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should be like that.
That has definitely come up. At least, I think I got two texts from players who said they noticed how many interviews Leonard and Lowry did mm-hmm. after they won the championship. And everybody noticed how the stars were at the podiums every day after games, off days. Like I was in the States, but my buddies were telling me you could watch Sportsnet for hours at a time on off days in the NBA Finals. So they kept on bringing people to the podium and
yeah.
they were putting it out. Like,
there's more.
It said one of my friends, he said to me, you know, like, I think I watch a lot of hockey. He said, there's a lot that's being left on the table compared to the way the NBA does things.
So everything that we say then vis-a-vis the entertainment in the NHL, still how much of it falls on the laps of whether the players are amenable to doing it?
Well, it's a lot. Like, and that's what I've said to people is that a lot of the times the players won't do that. And if they want to change it, that's why it can't just be idea. It has to be partially ideas, but the idea is going to be willing to go nowhere if you're not willing to help. You know, Shirelli Najak, who is the producer for games, the number one game producer on Hockey Night, when I first got hired, he said, you know, you've got a comfort zone. We got to get you out of it. You've got to challenge yourself. You've got to be willing. Like, I was way too serious. I wouldn't do anything I thought was jokey. He says, you got to get out of that. We got to try some more things. Like, you know, that's why working with Glenn Healy was really good, because he'd do this insane stuff during games. And I'd say, you know what? I should be doing that too. And so I had to come out of my comfort zone as a broadcaster. I think these players have to come out of their comfort zones too, as showmen for the game.
Mm-hmm. We talked a lot with Steve about the awards show this year, which was an absolute home run. Kenan Thompson was fantastic. The players were great. The Carey Price moment.
Leonard.
With Anderson Whitehead was great. Robin Leonard's speech was fantastic. I thought Alex Barkov, roasting Panthers fan.
Oh my God.
Was something. But Thompson, you know, like roasting Tampa, like this doesn't have to be a Jeffrey Ross roast. But
well, I don't think they could ever do that.
No, they could never do that. But to your point about getting out of your comfort zone, my takeaway from it was, because we all saw like Tampa Bay players just not getting into getting real. Like, it was great because we don't see it. And I think the NHL, the players, a lot of them need to be able to laugh at themselves and laugh at their situations for the good of everyone.
We talked about this in the air when Rob Riggle did it. Like, the audience had to be different too.
Yeah.
We have to accept that you have to have fun. And I felt bad for Rob Riggle when he did it. He was clearly into it.
Yeah.
But nobody helped him. Kenan Thompson, he was into it and he was good. But at least the crowd helped him. I think that makes a big difference. Like we as an audience have to be willing to say people are going to look at our game differently or people are going to try things differently. We have to accept it. Thompson, I was so impressed with him. I saw him do the red carpet. You know, Faisal and Donovan were hosting Tim and Sid that day, and he came on with me and did a couple of questions. And he was great. Like, he comes across as such a friendly, outgoing guy, and he was really funny watching him do that whole red carpet. Like, he really embraced it. He wanted to do it, which really helped. But, like, I remember Riggle doing it, and just, like, the audience gave him nothing.
Yeah.
And we have to help that, too. We have to be accepting of different, accepting of change. And I thought that Mandalay Bay crowd that night, I thought was really good. And you know which award show gets no credit, but I thought was groundbreaking in its own way?
The hostless one?
Was last year's. Because you got Luongo went up and gave his great speech.
Yep.
And PK went up. And Kevin Cheveldayoff went up there. And Kevin is he comes across as publicly as dry, not controversial. But he got up there and he talked about something. And I went to him after and I said, I thought that was fantastic. And he said he was nervous. He didn't know. And I was like, you know, I was so glad they did that because they put the players up there to kind of lead. And maybe it wasn't funny, but to me it was groundbreaking because they said our players and our people can do this. Like Taylor Hall coming on after the kids from Humboldt and saying, boy, I was worried I was going to win this. And then I saw that and I'm like, what am I worried about? Like to me, that was huge. You know, these guys, they have personalities. They're not soulless. They have to be willing to move the bar and the league has to be willing to move the bar and the fans and the public have to be willing to let them move the bar. It's going to come from all of us.
I'm glad you mentioned Taylor Hall because of all the people in the NHL, and listen, going back to when, you know, he played with the Windsor Spitfires, like he's always sort of been in a bubble and everyone's, you know, follow Hall and be careful, Taylor, what you say because all the eyes are, he's grew up in that very traditional Hockey Canada stream, okay, of don't rock the boat, don't say anything. But listen, I've had some interactions. We did a thing.
He's very headstrong.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Like of all the players in the NHL that I say to myself, okay, if he would loosen the collar a little bit and be allowed to loosen the collar, like the one guy that everyone's missing out on to me is Taylor Hall. Like that guy could be that next level entertaining, like from a public point of view. First of all, Hall's got a great deadpan. Like he's one of the great deadpan players in the NHL. Honestly, I look around the league and I say, that guy could be. And he's not going to be like a PK Subban, but he can be that over-the-top personality in a different way.
I think there's a few guys like that. I really do. But I agree with you on Hall.
How much of the awards show, because obviously you were there, how much did you see of rehearsals?
We had to go rehearse our part.
But did you have a sense of how everything was going to come together?
No, I don't stay that long for that. You know, I come and do my thing and then it's done. And also, you know, that day there's Board of Governors.
Yeah.
So I did my rehearsal and I went
back. You had your autograph table too at Mandalay Bay for all your 8x10s, your autographing.
Yeah, sure. That would be a real big seller. So I don't really get a chance to stay a lot for that, no.
Right. Where do you think the NHL is headed from Steve's corner?
I think we are barely scratching the surface. I hope 25% of his ideas happen. Mm-hmm. That means we're moving somewhere.
One of the things that I always come back to as far as creativity in pop culture, the early 70s were, just from a music point of view, even though film was fantastic as well, the early 70s, late 60s in music was the most vibrant that we've seen in a century. Different sounds, right? Like there were different types of music, different types of singles that were released that were profoundly different than the next single, and they all lived together on the same charts. In a lot of ways, that was the byproduct of people saying, I don't know what's going to work. That was a byproduct of radio program directors listening to a song and saying, I don't know, maybe the kids will like it. Let's try it. Now it seems everything is focus tested, right? And there isn't that element of, I don't know, maybe it'll work. Let's try it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we ever get back to that same spirit of the late 60s, early 70s. But there has to be, and we see some of this on the web. So
data, right, too much data.
Individual people doing, but that's right. Like it's a death by focus group.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this with various entertainment properties. are we getting closer to the NHL just saying, I don't know, let's try it?
We've definitely moved there. We're definitely doing that. See, like, I think one of the things that PK Subban had to battle with was for a while, he was like the only guy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's more guys doing it. Like last year, I remember when he did his July 4th bikini thing with Lindsey Vonn.
Yep.
It was a big deal. This year, he did it again. I don't think it was as big a deal because I think more guys are starting to do, maybe not wear bikinis, but different stuff. I think another thing that was really big this year was Subban trying that talk show. Whether it was successful or not, like he tried it. It takes a lot of guts.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that. I think we're getting there, and I'm with you, Jeff. I think sometimes you have to say, like, it's either going to work or it's not, but we're going to try.
I'm going to give it a shot.
And we're in this together. And that's the thing. Like, if something doesn't work because things are going to work and things are not going to work, I don't want to hear people blaming people for it didn't work. You got to try.
See, you know what I always think of, too? The Fox Puck. I still think it was a great idea.
It was ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time. The technology probably wasn't there. It looked clumsy on television, but great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea. All right. I hope you enjoyed our interview there with Steve Mayer. He is, of course, the chief content officer with the NHL. Final thought on Steve before we wrap up for this day and let people continue with their summers?
I don't know what else there is to say, but thanks for being so honest. Yeah.
Interesting guy. Thanks so much for stopping by, Steve. So, again, sort of around the NHL, not your necessarily headline-making people, but people that try to move the game forward. Steve is certainly one of those people. Thanks so much for joining us on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Now, please go enjoy the rest of your summer. It's nice out there. Go do something. Get out of the house.
Sok-sok-sok hazugságot. Száz évre lépett, ismeri az életet.